Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening, and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show. And tonight we're going to have Michelle Bless on, and I'm very happy that she is here. Michelle Bless is a minister, and she's also a chaplain, and she's been through horrific abuse as a child, and a lot of it ran into ritual abuse, so just all kinds of things that she was a part of and was in her life. And so she certainly is well qualified to be on this show, and I'm glad she's here. There's so many kids that go through things that we don't realize about, you know, and in the daytime everything seems fine, but at nighttime when the doors are closed, so much goes on behind those doors. Before I get into all of this, we do have a single purpose at NASCA, and that is to address issues related to child abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent and physical abuse, emotional trauma, and neglect. And we do so by actually two different ways, and one is educating the public, very important, especially as related to getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse and presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. And it does affect everyone. It even affects your paychecks. You don't realize that. It absolutely does. Not by much, but everyone has a little bit taken out of their paycheck because of child abuse. Kids end up in detention. They end up in foster care. They end up in all different kinds of places. Maybe they need psychologists and so forth and so on. Sometimes it's inpatient. And, children need a lot of help. And this is something that we as a society have to come to grips with. All right, number two is offering hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse, and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Okay? Intervention and recovery. Okay. That's very, very important. When I run the show on Friday nights, I try very hard to have it as a teaching type of thing so that when a person gets off the phone, they've learned something. And even when we have our guests on tonight, you know, on Fridays and on Thursdays too, today's Thursday, I'll be running Thursday and Friday this week, we have Michelle Bless on, and I want to bring her on right now. Michelle, hi, how are you?
Hello? Hello, Sister hey. Carol, how are you? Hello, everybody. Good to be here.
It's very good to have you here, Michelle. I just want everyone to know that I don't have a computer tonight. No, it's broken. It's at Staples. It was supposed to be done today, but it's not, okay? So I'm not a happy camper. So Joe is going to be running the studio for me, but that's fine. We will get through this. We will do it, and we'll do a good job. Michelle, what's going on in your life? Is there something you want to talk about tonight? Do you have anything?
Well, I want to give everybody strength and hope and to really, really hold on no matter what the circumstance is. And right now I am a perfect witness to say that because my mother had open heart surgery. She was in the operating room for 5 hours. But God, she came through it. She's at home now recovering. My father is still in critical condition at another hospital, and he is temporarily blind. It might be permanent. We don't know, because he didn't take his dialysis for 8 days, and because of that, poison went through his bloodstream and through his brain. So he can't walk, but he came conscious today, but he doesn't know his children. He don't know anything, so we got to put him in rehab. And then on top of that, we found out that he had colon cancer, and he didn't tell anyone that. So imagine us talking to the doctor, and our mouths dropped, like, what are you talking about? We were just totally shocked. So I found that out today. But know that for me, my strength comes from God, and my strength comes from just being of service and being available to help others, because in this circumstance, I have no control. And if you don't have any control, why allow that to stress you out? All I can do is keep praying and be supportive. And I thank God for all of my church family and family throughout the United States. I have people that's been emailing me, sending gifts, you know, calling, being very supportive. So I'm very appreciative of that. And then I know now being here on our show, it might be people who don't have anyone that they can talk to. They might not have family that they're close to. And I get that. You know what I'm saying? So just know that we are here. Because this circumstance, someone said to me, well, are you going to do your show? And I said, well, yes, I'm going to do my show. First of all, I do it once a month. So I'm not going to cancel the show because of the circumstance. You know, I came on here so I can be a help for others, you know, and for us to do what we can to help others, because especially in this pandemic, in this situation that's going on throughout the United States and really throughout the world, you know, a lot of people that are closed in, they are more so closed in because of what's going on now, you know, with the coronavirus and you know, not able to get out, or some people that had jobs and their jobs are closed because of the coronavirus. So it's messing with finances. So it's a lot of different circumstances during this situation that is going on throughout the United States. And how do I know that? Because I get calls all the time from people who ask me for prayer and they need someone to talk to. So it's a big, big thing. And I just want people to know here that's listening or in the chat room that just know that you are not alone, that NASCA and NASCA family is here for you and to support you. We have a list on our website where there's our names and people have their emails on there. Some people have their phone numbers on there. And for me, you know, my email and my phone is open 24 hours. So if you need anyone to talk to, even in the circumstance that I am now, I still get calls. I don't turn anybody away. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And that's comforting. It's comforting to know that, Michelle, because so many people are so upset now, and it's like our lives have been turned around, you know, and we don't know what to do. They're starting to open up, you know, in certain places, and some people think that's smart. Other people think it's wrong. New Jersey, where I'm at, it's a small state, but we have so many people in our state that the virus is just all over the place yet. So we're not really opening up. We have Walmart until 8 o'clock at night. We have, you know, just a couple of stores. No food stores that I know of have opened up yet, you know, like to go out to dinner or things that people are used to doing. And our lives have been really turned around, and it's a very frightening time. People don't know whether they still have to wear masks. In New Jersey, believe me, you do. You may not have to in other places, but New Jersey, you absolutely have to. They won't let you into the food stores unless you have a mask on. And, you know, so, and then some states, which to me makes no sense, they're going to allow for people to come in and only half the amount of people as usual. Come in and sit down and dine, you know, have dinner, but they have to wear their masks. And I don't know about you, but to try and eat a meal with a mask on, I don't know. That's kind of crazy.
Well, I think it's crazy, but that's just my intake. That's just my thought, because I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I mean, all that that's going on top of the riots that's going on, you know, and I'm not going to go into depth of that because everybody's going to have their own thinking or whatever. Mm-hmm. But
there's so much.
First of all, they shut down the whole United States from the beginning because the coronavirus hit, right? People are still dying. Nothing changed, even when they stores or whatever, a few places, you know, a few restaurants or whatever, but no one in the whole United States has been tested yet. I mean, come on. So it's at this time, and what I urge to say is people have to use wisdom. Because look at the fact, don't look at the fact of them opening up a few stores. Don't look at the fact of them opening up a few businesses. Look at the fact that people are still dying. And if you didn't know this, let me say this, and I'm going to leave the coronavirus alone because I don't want to make this show about the coronavirus.
No.
During the Memorial holiday in some of the states like Florida, California, Texas, and Georgia, and a couple other states, they opened up their beaches and thousands of people went to the beach, right?
Right.
Now, since this riot happened all over this different cities and states, no one, they've been focusing on that, but yet they get in a little corner. How many people since the Memorial holiday have died in all those states that they open those beaches in? So what does that tell you? Or let me say this. What does that tell me? Nothing changed. People are still dying. And I'm like, what are they doing?
I know.
Nothing changed.
I know.
I'm not in a rush for no restaurant, no business, no stores, no nothing to open because I want to hear the Washington and the government say, hey, everyone in the United States, in every city, in every state, go to your local hospital, your doctor, set up, because we have paid for everything for you to take this test. I want everybody to be tested. When you do that, then I will be okay as far as going to places. Until then, I think so. For me, I'm just speaking for me, not for no one else, because everyone else is going to have a different opinion.
No, I hear you. I hear you. I saw something funny the other day, but it's not really funny. I have a warped sense of humor. But anyway, these people had masks on, and they had made mouths in the mask. Okay, so that was their idea, and they're making those masks. They're actually making those masks, Michelle, so that people can go to a restaurant and eat, but still know your mouth is open. It makes no sense. I don't know.
Yeah.
Look,
don't laugh at me, but I have.
I'm not laughing at you. Go ahead.
I look like an astronaut with the full gear and the whole clear thing around my whole head from front, back, left, right. I mean, seriously, like my daughter, my baby girl's a nurse, so she got me that suit, the same suit that the doctors and nurses are wearing in the hospital for safety. So, and I'm not taking it for a joke. I'm not taking it lightly. This is not a joke. People are still dying. So I don't need to hear no one's opinion because I'm looking at the evidence that people are still dying from this.
Yes, they are. They absolutely are.
Don't take this lightly. Yeah.
Mm-mm. No.
Yeah,
but you have the kids that are taking it lightly, you know.
Yeah.
I think it was about a month ago I had ordered pizza, okay? Well, before I took the pizza, to have it delivered, before I brought it into the house, I know I was outside wiping the box off. I'd already disinfected the.
Did they have a mask on?
They had no mask on. They had gloves on. This is a kid, okay? And I said, it's so stupid. So I had my mask on. He's looking at me like I'm from outer space. And I said to him, do you ever watch the news, man? He said, once in a great while. I said, don't you know what this world's going through? No. I said, do you see me?
I would not have took that pizza. If I were to order a pizza, and I'm not really a pizza eater, I order for my grandson, but if that delivery girl or guy would have came to my freaking door without a mask on, I would be like, take that pizza back, thank you, and shut the door, call back the pizza place, tell them to reimburse me, or send someone else. Well, no, I wouldn't even say that because they probably bought the same pizza. I would have told them, reimburse me back on my credit card. I don't want that pizza because your driver came here without a mask on.
That's right. So what I did was I had taken a spatula and a dish out, okay? So I, with my gloved hands, I lifted the lid up, okay? And I took the spatula. I know I'm a nut. So anyway, so I'm pulling apart the pizza. I'm Italian. I know how to pull apart the pizza without cutting it. And I'm taking the spatula and I'm putting it on the platter, okay, to take into the house. That's how I handled it. And I kicked the box, okay? And the kid's looking at me like I'm from Mars. And I said, well, it's either you or me. And guess what? It ain't going to be me. And I walked into the house with the planet.
Yeah.
So that's, I don't know. We're in a state of, I don't know what here, chaos. But we should get to child abuse. And you see, this scares the hell out of me. I'll tell you why. I'm going to tell you why this scares me so badly, because we know that there's so much with all the coronavirus, those who are listening, okay, a lot of them who are in closed down or shut down or whatever, they're around the people that have abused them or are abusing them. And where do they run and where do they hide, okay? This is what I always say. There's a song, where do they run, where do they hide? Okay, so where do these kids go, okay? Where do they go? They have no place to go. And this to me is very frightening. And, you know, there's so much. Like every 10 seconds, child abuse is reported every 10 seconds, okay? Every day, 4 to 7 children die from child abuse and neglect. They're saying it's closer to 7 now. And I'm sure it's even higher than that with all this going on. And it's hard to believe that people would hurt children, but sadly we know that they do. We currently live in a day and an age where abuse is on the rise, and children are falling victims on a daily basis.
You do know, and I know you're on the news, that child abuse and domestic violence have went up 50%.
That's
since the corona. Yes.
And that's why I'm going to be working more with child abuse very soon. Okay, and domestic violence. But anyway, Dr. Claire, now I'm not going to say this last name right. You know I'm not. But I'm going to do my best. It's Nikengasian. You say it. All right. is a licensed clinical psychologist who has created the following short list of child abuse warning signs based on her 20 years experience and past observations. And sometimes I do like to talk about, you know, what to look for, the flags, because we don't do that enough.
Yeah.
And people that listen to the show, not all of them are survivors. These are people that have found out about NASCA. People that a lot of us have sent to NASCA, you know, to check us out, because we're always handing cards out and stuff and information. And they don't know the signs, okay? But I'm just going to go over this quickly. And by the way, people out there.
That's important.
Yes, it is. People out there, you can call 646-595-2118. That's 646-595-2118. If you have any questions, okay, that you want to ask, you know, Michelle Bless, our pastor here, or if you want to make any comments about something or get into a conversation, that's fine. So you can call. Okay, so noticeable personality changes, and that depends on the child's age and also severity of the situation. I've seen kids go from being very quiet to becoming very the opposite, okay? And rowdy, you know, acting different. I've seen children actually rub up against furniture because it feels good, okay?
The point very different. Of it.
Absolutely. Yes.
That's good. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, nightmares, difficulty sleeping, and regressive behavior, like bedwetting, all right? Or urination accidents with no previous history and acting younger in a dramatic way. They don't want to act their age. Look what's happening to them. They go backwards. They regress, okay? They may display sexual behaviors, inappropriate, you know, type of thing, like rubbing up against a table that I just mentioned. Maladaptive coping, including hair pulling, cutting, skin picking.
Yeah.
I used to pick my scalp. I'm sure that I have a couple areas, okay, Michelle, where the hair isn't growing right. It's because when I was a kid, I was picking at my head all the time. Loss of appetite or excessive eating, and that's even food hoarding. Sometimes they'll hoard food.
Yeah, they can go both ways. Not eating or eating a lot.
All right. Anger or aggression towards self and others, especially at school, acting out. Okay. Changes in academic performance, like a decline in grades and being withdrawn from once enjoyable activities and pastimes. Maybe they're not playing ball like they used to. Maybe they're just sitting over in the corner and then they're silent and they're quiet and they're putting their head down. I did that a lot. Unexplained bruising, injuries, and scars. Reluctance to be alone or with a particular person. What does that tell you? Mm-hmm. They don't want to be with a particular person. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, then she goes on to say, and she points out that it can be neighbors, caregivers, family members, friends. In addition to physical cases, child abuse also encompasses emotional and sexual abuse. How to protect your child from abuse? Education.
Mm.
Now, this is something that I have a problem with parents when I go out and I speak. They want to keep their children. They want to keep them, away from things like that. They want to keep them innocent.
But
that's
see,
so
that,
stupid.
But see, right now, the epidemic of the way child abuse is going on rapidly has not stopped. Actually, it went up. You cannot be stopped when it comes to your kids. You have to talk to them. We have to educate the children, because if you don't, guess what? Somebody else will. Somebody
That's
else
right.
will. And who is going to be? The wrong person, probably a pedophile, pervert. You don't want that. I had a woman say to me, well, my daughter ain't even went through that. I don't want her to learn nothing like that. I said, ma'am, I didn't know anything about that either because I was taught. Because it didn't come from actually my mother and father. I wasn't sexually abused from my mother or father. You know, my father didn't sexually abuse me. He physically and mentally abused me. I got sexually abused up from other family members and strangers. But if they would have said something to me about it, like, don't, if anyone touch you a certain way, that's wrong. I wasn't taught that. I was never told that. So I didn't know what was going on.
That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, if we don't educate them, then look at the stuff they go through, Michelle. It is horrifying.
Yeah.
You know, out on the courtyard and the schoolyards, you know, perverts have a way. I call them perverts. I call them all kinds of names, monsters, whatever. They're hanging around by the schoolyards, and I know that that's one time when I was kidnapped and raped in New York. This particular guy was hanging around the schoolyards, and he came to PS26 in Travis. And there I was. I was the one also, too, we should bring out. Usually the kid that doesn't have friends or has their head down. I'd already been sexually abused and hated
right.
myself and all that stuff.
It already happened. So believe me, if your child knows a different sign of what their norm is, I guarantee you they have been sexually, they already been sexually abused. And let me say this real quick. Two days ago, my mom got out of the hospital. She, like I said, she's at home recovery. But I took her to the store, and then she wanted to go buy a wig. So I went to a hair store. So while when I got out the car, it was me and my sister and my mom. I helped her out the car. I looked over next to me, and it was a black guy in a car, in a sports car. Sitting, he pulled out his thing and was playing with himself in front of a hair store where nothing but women go in the store. So I'm like, oh, my God, really? And he had dark tinted windows, but by him being parked next to me and I got out the car, he had his driver's side window half up. That's how it able to look at him. Well, the reason why I looked over, because I heard this music come out of his car. That's what made me look over. And then when I looked over and he had his window like not halfway down, but half of the half way down. And he was in there playing with stuff. I said, oh my God. And I told my mom and my sister who was going into this place. And I said, my mom said, you need to call the police. And I'm like, well, now let me just go back outside and see if his car is out there. And my mom waited like 20 minutes before saying that. So 20 minutes passed, of course, while we was in the store. When I came out to see, was he still sitting there? He was gone. But that's a perfect example.
Yeah.
Perfect example about
Absolutely.
Pedophiles and perverts.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Who goes into a woman's hair store, either by themselves or with their other girlfriends or women with their children, with their kids?
Right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah.
There's so much that society has to learn, you know, Michelle, about what mm-hmm. to what to look for, the red flags. Now,
yeah.
I'm not trying to scare people. I'm just trying to, you know, educate them.
It's not about being scared. It's about, it's about being the now of the reality of what it is today in the 20th century of 2020. It's
mm-hmm.
happening, people. It's happening.
It's happening everywhere. Yeah.
They're not going anywhere. Yeah. And you know what the big thing is about? Because of all that's going on in this epidemic, you know, with the coronavirus, like I said, the high rise of domestic violence, the high
mm-hmm.
rise of child abuse, the high
mm-hmm.
rise of criminals out there doing unlawful things, the
mm-hmm.
high rise of pedophiles and perverts out here.
Mm-hmm.
This is just to them, this is like a golden egg, you know, because the police ain't coming out to do really anything. You know what I'm saying? Because it's epidemic. It's happening. So you have to be mindful. You have to be on alert. And not just for your own. Be alert for other children if you see them. If you're
mm-hmm.
in a store or at a gas station, if you see something different and weird about a child's behavior, don't be silent. Because remember, we didn't have a voice, right? And we're
That's
adults
right.
now. So we have a voice now for that little girl and little boy inside us, but let us also be a voice for these other kids that's out here being victimized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And that's what we have to do, okay? And that's why it's so important. I always tell people, Michelle, to make copies. Like, I don't know if I got this off of Bill's site or if this is something I got from the college or whatever. I don't remember. But
mm-hmm.
there's a lot to go through on this page here. But the point is this. If we, like I go to ShopRite a lot, okay, and I've asked permission,
yeah.
I will hang certain information up for people to look at. And, of course, it gets
mm-hmm.
taken down because
mm-hmm.
the pedophiles, they don't like that information out there. Okay, I know what's going on. I found out that in some food stores, I know that ShopRite, and kudos to them,
yeah.
they have actually been educated as to what to look for in the store for a parent, you know, who's maybe hitting a kid or whatever
yeah.
they're doing to them, and to turn them in. They actually have to go for classes, just for a couple, two or three, and they're given, and they've become mandated reporters. Now, this is the people in management. You know, way up high in the store, you have those people up there. They're up by the cameras and stuff like that. They have desks up
yeah.
and so forth. Well, they become mandated reporters. Now, this is, I know of one ShopRite that this is happening in, and so I drop off information, and we do put it up on the bulletin board, and, of course, the nuts out there, they don't want people to see that, but I keep placing it there. And I go other places, too, you know, to put out information. We can all do this.
Yes,
see, we have to educate society. We have to.
I have posters everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere I go, whether it's a gas station, any type of business, and I'm well known in the
mm-hmm.
city of Cincinnati, Westchester, Cleveland, Columbus. You know, I travel a lot.
Right.
And I put flyers out with NASCA
mm-hmm.
And also my information all the time. You know,
mm-hmm.
and I'll be
mm-hmm.
for the day I die.
Well, you see, if we could all do that, okay? Like, a lot of times we have people who are, you know, NASCA members, and they say, well, I'm not good at doing this, I'm not good at doing that. We don't have to do that much, okay? I love to do presentations, and of course you do too, and so forth. And there's quite a few of us that do. But then there are those
yeah.
that really don't know what to do. Well, if they would just simply make copies every once in a while. Put them in laundromats. Put them in daycare centers.
Yeah.
They can't, if they say they're a representative of NASCA, you'd be surprised how many doors get open, okay? You don't
mm-hmm.
have to be on the board. I'm telling you. You can be a representative
mm-hmm.
of NASCA because if you're a NASCA member, that's what you are.
Exactly.
Okay? So if we get this information out, there's ways of doing things. you know, for people to learn, to see, you know. And they can take their camera and take pictures of what's on that page, all right, so that they can take it home and study it, all right. And I think that's very good. But getting back to this page, it says here, this is written again by a doctor, and I can't say her last name. But anyway, it says, try to build trust. Children often view parents as the opposition or enemy, depending on the stage of development that they're in. Now, this is for children who come from, I call them, the normal homes, where they're not already being abused, all right? This is why it's so important to try and build trust through truth. In other words, tell them about their bodies, and not just a strict set of rules. It's good to have boundaries. Children have to learn boundaries so that they know that they're being abused, for God's sake. Okay.
And if we out here, we need to educate them also about boundaries.
Right. That's right. So and then another thing here, listen, even if it's unrelated to an abuse, all right, get in the habit of allowing your child to come to you for open and honest discussions. And when your kid tells you something, believe it. So often the parents don't want to believe that they were touched or someone has ill intent for their child. Oh, you're just imagining it, they'll say, or something like that. Don't be afraid to get real. Have an age-appropriate discussion with your child about the realities of this world. Talk with your son or daughter about their body parts in an inappropriate play. Inappropriate play. Teach them that. What's not appropriate, what's not appropriate. And, how often is it, like, we're survivors on this show, okay, and we've been touched already. I certainly didn't know my body parts names. Did you?
Absolutely not.
No.
Had no idea.
No. And when I went to the police department with the one case, when the guy was caught, I had to go to the police department, and plus I had to go down and look at mugshots. They'd say, well, where were you touched? And I'd point, here. What did he do? And I'm stuck. You know? What am I going to do? Point the cop's zipper and say, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to get graphic here. But, I mean, children have to learn, you know, that it's inappropriate and what the body parts are and what bad people do. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay? That's what they are. Just like that movie from years ago.
Yeah, and I want to add to that, if you don't teach them, I'm telling you, somebody is going to teach them a different way. And who is that somebody? Perverts, pedophiles, family, friends that you think that you can trust. What obviously we do, and it can be a family friend, family member. They are everywhere. They don't sleep.
That's right. That's right. And something we should talk about, too, and this is uncomfortable because so many of us have been in this position. I know I certainly have. Look, I left my first husband, and I divorced him. Now, he was the father. He's deceased now. Mm-hmm. He was the father of my children, but he was enough, so I got rid of him, all right, plain English. Well, I started to date again, and you have to be careful, women. Okay, people who are listening, you have to be really careful out there who you choose as boyfriends because I'm not going to say who in my family, but someone was approached by a boyfriend that I was going out with, and I had known him for years, Michelle. I went to school with him.
Wow.
Okay, yeah. I really thought that this guy was okay. He wanted to marry me. He had a lot of money. He was very tempting. He had his own trucking business. And I thought he'd be, wonderful for my children, you know, a real daddy, someone who would take interest. And for my son, he'd be great for him because kids like to go on trucks. You know, I thought, wow, this is good. Okay, I'd known him for years. Known this guy for years.
Right.
He turned out to be a nut. Yeah, he turned out to be a nut.
I believe
him. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, were there red flags? I'd have to think back. Well, maybe he'd like to be around this individual a little too much and wanted to take that individual on their truck a little bit too much. And, Well, one thing led to another, but that individual wasn't actually touched. Thank God I saw something that I didn't like about this guy, and I said, my God, I've known him all these years, but you have to get lost.
That's right. That's right.
So that person was spared. But many times when we go out, you know, where we want to get back into the dating scene, I've had guys ask me out lately, and I'm still not ready. I don't know. I don't trust anyone. I can't help it. But and some of them are cute, too. It makes me mad. But anyway, the point is that I know. But the point is, you know, I think to myself, what if he's another nut or something? I don't know, you know. And I'll probably get over that sooner or later. And my second husband now has been gone since 2017, so I can certainly go out and date, okay?
Yeah.
But, of course, with the coronavirus out there, where are we going to go? We're not going to go to dinner, are we? And I don't know. I don't quite want someone in my house, okay?
Well, that's why they have what is called video chatting on video and stuff like that. So you can... You know, you can, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I hear you. I can do this.
I'm dating someone, and that's what we do. We video chat.
Mm-hmm.
We communicate, you know, every day, and that's how that works, you know.
Oh,
so,
I could do that. There's two of them I kind of like to chat with. But anyway, that's all right. But, you know, the thing of it is we don't think about our children in the sense that this person might be harmful to our children. Because
exactly.
What these pedophiles do is they groom the neighborhood, they groom community, they groom the ladies that they want to go out with because they have the children, and maybe zeroed in on one of the children, and maybe he likes the lady, but on the other hand, he really wants the kid, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this is how terrible things can happen to children. So we really have to really, really be careful. I know there's some people that do background checks now before they go out with someone because they are realizing just how bad this problem is. There's at least some people out there that have some smarts. So it says here, reaffirm and praise your child if they come to speak to you, okay, and tell you things.
Mm-hmm.
Many
yeah.
child abusers prey on children who show signs of low self-esteem, a fear of failure, or being let down. Note, and this one is written by a Dr. Bell. Always lead with love and you know, teach your children that they are there for you and you will believe them if they have any funny feelings about someone. If they have someone that they're feeling funny about but they don't know why, there might be a good reason.
Absolutely.
Absolutely is right. And,
that's what it says in the word, well, the mouths of babes. Sometimes your children can sense something and will come to you and say something. Don't brush that. Don't brush that off too fast. Listen to what your child is saying. You know, because they can pick up on things too. Especially if they pick up on something before something happened to them. Listen to what they say and watch the signs. It's very important. Absolutely.
Yes, it is. And you know, today's parents are so busy. I mean, now a lot of them aren't working because of what's going on out there. But when things calm down, and hopefully they do get their jobs back or they find new jobs, whatever the case may be, you still have to somehow find time to listen to your children. And I do know that we had a guest on the show some years ago now that was very good. And he now, I believe, had his own show. I don't know if he still does or not. But he had some very, very, very good suggestions. And, you know, how to talk to your children. When to start talking to your children, you know, about their bodies, number one. I want to go over that a little bit more, Michelle, because, you know.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, because when kids are in the tub, say, and mommy's giving them a bath or daddy's giving them a bath or whatever, a lot of times they're going to say, what's this, what's that? Give them the proper names, okay?
Absolutely.
And because so often parents don't like saying, well, these are your breasts, or this is your vagina, or this is your penis. They don't like doing that. But they're
that, because you better believe that the pervert and the pedophile are going to say it, and then you're not going to know what it is. But if we teach at home and teach what it really is, so when somebody do approach them that we're not around, they say that, they'd be like, wait a minute, my mommy said, don't touch that part. She called it breast, and you're saying breast, and you're saying breast is good. But my mommy said, I'm little, I'm young, no one should touch me there. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
It's very important to do that. Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yet parents are bashful. And you know what's funny about this whole thing that I've found out over the years? Kids aren't afraid to talk about it.
Of course
it's not. It's the parents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that are embarrassed, okay? Kids have minds like little sponges. How often have we said that, okay? So if you say to your child, listen, since you're asking these questions, all right, since you're asking these questions, I'm going to tell you. And that's how you started off, okay? And, yes, you tell them their body parts and that they're very private. They're just for you until you get much, much, much older, and then we'll talk about it then. But no one's to touch you there unless, you know, mommy's giving you a bath or daddy's helping you a bath or whatever, okay? And so that they understand that no one else is allowed to touch them there. Many times parents use that as the bathing suit area because, you see, they're still, you know, bashful about saying, you know, your breasts or your penis or your vagina. But, you know, that's better than nothing. Okay, I don't like it. And the experts, the doctors, I'm talking about doctors here now, the psychiatrists, they say that we should, you know, be explicit. You say breast, you say penis, you say vagina. And if you show embarrassment, then the kid's not going to come to you if they're touched.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're absolutely correct on that. So do we have a lot, do we have some people
I don't know.
Out there waiting?
This everything's in such a chaos right now. Who knows? Joe, is there anyone listening that right now or that wants to come on?
No panel members.
Okay.
No. Okay. No, there's too much going on right now, Michelle. I'm not even going to worry about it. But people will listen later on. Okay, when things quiet down, we'll put it that way. And and I want them to listen to what we have to say because it's important. This is very, very good information. I'm going to read something here, and we'll discuss it because, again, people have to learn. It says, now this is, you know, it's either right or it's wrong, okay, and you're going to be able to tell which. It says, number one, children are seldom victims of sexual abuse. Really?
Okay, excuse me? false?
Yeah.
Okay, that's false.
Okay.
I don't know where that came from. Just made me get out of my seat, sister girl. What?
Yes, it did. I bet it did.
To say that.
Uh huh. Mhm. Well, this is written by Jill Sarbaczewski. She was on our show
Jill
also.
Sarbaczewski, to sit down. Okay.
Well, hold on. No. She is was a prosecutor for New York. Okay, I'm going to read this. As a prosecutor of
White House.
Check it out.
Okay, check it out.
It says here, as a prosecutor of child abuse and sex crimes in New York City for the past 16 years and a prevention specialist, I have heard all the reasons why parents don't discuss child sexual abuse prevention with their children. I have heard them so often that I can recite them by heart. In honor of April's Child Abuse Prevention Month, it should be every month, not just April, I decided it would be a good idea to memorialize the top 10 reasons why parents choose not to discuss the subject. Now, so this is false or not false, okay? And we know that this is false. Children are seldom victims of sexual abuse. It says here, according to United States Centers for Disease Control in the United States, 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys is sexually abused by the time they are 18. Consider those numbers for a moment. Obviously, that was a false statement. See, this is why we're reading this. They are shocking and devastating. Those figures alone should motivate parents to seek out prevention strategies. Number two, this kind of thing doesn't happen where we live. Well, we know that's false too, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Actually,
all I can say is wow.
Yeah, right. By the way, I came from a wealthy family in a very good area of Staten Island. Look what happened to me. Okay?
I was really glad too.
Okay, there you go. Okay. It says, actually, child sexual abuse has no socioeconomic boundaries, okay? It doesn't care if you are black or white, rich or poor, or what religion you practice. It can creep in when you least expect it, and that's true. We know this. Okay.
Let me add something before you go further, real quick, I won't lose my train of thought.
Go ahead.
You know, human trafficking is an uprise, too. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm a survivor also of human trafficking. You know that, right? So
yes, I do.
Again, if you don't educate your children, it would be so easy for them to be glided from a pedophile or pervert. And the next thing you know, you're going to look up and your child will be snatched and gone. And so.
That's right.
After the kidnapper, which is the pedophile or the pervert, do what they do to them, then they'll be sold.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that. But go ahead, Carol.
Well, that's just so true. And you know, I know of a little boy who was sold to the black market. Okay.
Mm.
I had a prostitute standing in my living room one day. This is some years ago, and I knew she was a prostitute. I didn't want her in my house. And she said, well, my daughter's 9 years old. And I said, yeah, and? And she said, well, I'm going to put her out on the street. I said, what?
Excuse me?
Yes, that's what she said. Do you know what I did, Michelle? I turned that woman around.
I hope you did what I thought you did.
Oh, yes,
sorry,
I did. I cooked her. I cooked her. Yeah, I kicked her. I kicked her ass, in plain English, right out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, don't ever come here again. Ever.
Jeez.
Ever. Okay? Yes. Okay. So I know about people and their thoughts. A lot of times the parents get involved and they want the kids. Yes. They want the kids out on the street so they can get money. Maybe they're into drugs or whatever. Who the hell knows? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Okay. Okay, here's another one. We don't let our children go near strangers. What? Okay.
What?
These are crazy. It says, actually, 93% of child sexual abuse occurs at the hands of someone we know to the child, and who's known to the child, and trusted by the parents. Well, that's true.
Mm-hmm. That's
okay.
Right. That is true. Mm-hmm.
So this one's true. Even if a child is never around strangers, he or she could be victimized by a neighbor, a coach, a religious official, or a family member. Parents who teach only stranger danger are doing a disservice to the child, and that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
So that
that's
one's
true.
Right. Yes.
Yes, that's true.
Yes. Okay, number four. My child is not old enough for this discussion. See?
That's not true.
No, it's not true. And so many times I've heard that, and I just get, you know, really angry and annoyed when I hear that because, look, kids are taken at birth at times. Kids are taken at infancy, toddler age. Some
absolutely.
Perverts, yeah, they like children that are 2 and 3 and 4 years old. And,
well,
you know.
I know of people that have started with before 6.
Sure.
It's bad enough that it happened to me at 6, but I know people that it happened to at 18 months, 2 years old. Come on now. What are you
that's
talking
what I'm
about?
Saying. That's what I'm saying. You see, I had someone say to me, they weren't chastising me, but they were saying to me, this lady was saying to me, listen, she said, and she was quite right, some people like babies, okay, in a sexual way. Well, now, The only way that I know of people liking babies in a sexual way, those kids many times died because their little bodies couldn't stand it.
They couldn't take it. Oh, yes, honey, absolutely.
And she was a survivor, so I'm thinking to myself, now, wait a minute, what's she talking about? I mean, because I'm thinking of...
It was a 2-year-old little girl from Mexico.
Yeah.
That this man snatched her, and he had her for several hours. He raped her so bad that her insides came out.
There you go.
Mexico City was in an uproar. They had a beautiful fruit for her. Girl, she was gorgeous. I broke down and cried so hard.
Yeah.
He raped her that her insides came out.
That's
so
just so
don't,
sick. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't believe that. Believe the truth.
That's right.
I met a survivor that it started with them in 9 months. People say, well, how do you have a memory? Let me explain something to you. When you were a kid, you know, you're supposed to be happy, and you know, and stuff like that. You're happy, you're around a happy environment, it's fun. But when something happened to you where it hurts, you are not going to forget that.
No.
It might not, you might not remember it for a while, but you will remember that. Kids, because all of a sudden, as a child, we go from being that happy kid. You change. You mentally change. Things change around you physically because we experience pain. And as a child, being raped, that is pain.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Our body is not an adult pain.
Of course.
Come on.
Of course. And it's so disgusting. But she brought out something I didn't think about. Now, my abuse started sexually, too, at the age of 6. So I'm thinking to myself, an 18-month-old, well, what are they doing to this kid? Or what happened to her?
God,
She's a survivor. She's a survivor.
And can you imagine that, 18-month-old, 9-month-old?
That's disgusting.
Oh, my God.
My word. I can't even think about it. Well, Michelle, think about the mouth.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
This show might be a little upsetting to some people, but I'm graphic and I don't sugarcoat things. I do not sugarcoat things.
We
I will not.
Too.
Because
You know, some perverts who are really, really sick, they love getting a kid. They love getting a baby form like 18 months or 9 months because you know at that time we like to suck on bottles. What do they do?
Sure.
They put candy or juice or syrup or whatever on their penises and stick it in your freaking child's mouth. Come on now.
That's right.
Or the
tongue is sticking out. How many times, you know, with babies, a lot of times they lay there and a lot of times their tongue will be, you know, sticking out a little bit. And my cat's just doing the same thing. My cat's tongue is sticking out. Get out of here. Go. But anyway, the point is they can sexually abuse a child all different kinds of ways, okay, and it's just sickening. We don't think, and even those of us who have been abused as children, you and I actually at the age of 6 it started. It starts well before that. It can start
well before that.
Yes.
Well before that.
And I have friends that were not able to have children because it happened to them at 3 or 4. I forget which it was, 3 or 4.
Yeah.
You know, sure. So they were totally ruined inside, absolutely. So anyway, it says here, actually the appropriate age to begin the discussion about child sexual abuse prevention is when a child is 3 years old. Now, this is what the doctors are saying, 3 years old.
3 years old, but we know as survivors, a lot of times it had happened before 3. And I can say that out loud because I have ministered, I have met people where it happened to them starting at the low age of 2 years old, some 18 months, some 9 months old. Yes. That's real. That's reality.
That's just too sick for me, man. I want to get violent. I can't help it. I've got this streak in me. I'm like my cat. I'm still feral. Okay, let's go here. Okay, so it says here the conversation can start as simply as, did you know that the parts of your body covered by a bathing suit, there you go, the bathing suit, are private and are for no one else to see or touch. Now, they're saying it's okay, in other words, to put it that way, because, like I said, some parents, that's the only way they can say it. It's better than nothing. All right. Continue the conversation by explaining to the child that he should tell mommy that, or daddy or a teacher if someone touches him or her on their private parts. Well, a lot of the teachers are screwed up, but yeah, they can try to tell them teachers.
But I'm saying tell. I'm glad that, you know, when she's saying tell, but you know what? There has been cases where some teachers didn't do anything. I'm just going to be real about it.
They have to, they're mandated reporters, and they have to do their job. Be sure to include any necessary exceptions for potty training. Okay, that would be like in daycare centers. Hygiene and of course, doctor visits. Okay, let's go to number five. I don't want to scare my child. Really? If some jerk is out there sexually abusing your kid, I don't think your kid's not going to be scared. So, see, this is where they're so stupid that way. Parents are just so too overprotective, in a sense, and it's not like they're saying. They're not doing any service to their children. They're doing a disservice to their children by not telling them.
Yes.
It says here, actually, when handled properly, children find the message empowering. See, if kids aren't the problem, it's the parents.
It's not the kids.
No. They find the message empowering and are not frightened at all. Parents do not refrain from teaching traffic safety for fear that their child will be hit by a car. So, too, should we address the subject of body safety? Body safety.
We do need to address that. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, number six.
My God.
I would know.
Go ahead.
I would know. Now, no, they wouldn't, but listen to this. It says here, I would know if something happened to my child.
That's not true.
No.
Because I can say it out loud. I'm going to say it again. Excuse me. Let me say this. That's not true. That's false. I'm a witness. That's false.
Mm-hmm.
You would not. Parents need to know, no, that's not true. When my mother found out that my grandfather did what he did to me, when I became an adult, my mother was devastated. She literally fell out the chair and passed out. And when she came to, she cried. And she said, oh, forgive me. I said, Mom, it's not your fault. I told her what happened. See, because in during my situation, I'm a survivor of not only sexual abuse, but physical abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse from my dad. And my dad used to beat me and my siblings every other day. And he used to beat my mother every other day. So that's not true.
No, it isn't.
I felt
it
like my mother was a victim, like we were as kids, and she was trying to survive. She was a victim. My dad utilized my mother. And and me, at my age, starting at six when my grandfather started it, by the time I was seven and eight, it was already 2 years in. It was like, why would I tell my mother? What could she have done? I felt like my mother needed protection. I started protecting her at nine. Me as a little kid, on top of being sexually abused by my grandfather. So that's not true.
No, it's not. It's not true. Now, I'm the flip side of the coin because I did tell, and no one cared. No one cared.
Come on, kiddo.
Well, that's the truth. They'd say, well, things like this happen to families, man.
They say that things happen.
Yeah. So I tried to tell, and I got nowhere. Okay. What's this one here? Number seven. My child would tell me if something happened to him. No.
That's false. Go ahead, Carol.
That's crazy. It says actually most children do not immediately disclose when they have been sexually abused. Contrary to a child who falls down and runs over to tell his parents, you know, if they fall off a bike or something, a child who has been sexually abused is likely being told not to tell anyone because no one will believe him.
That's true. That's my story. That is true. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. And then that people will say it is his fault. So often they blame the kid, right? Okay.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah. It's the way you're dressing. A 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 7-year-old, 10-year-old. Look, in London, they did this study. They had this lady walk down the street absolutely naked. Okay. This was online some years ago. She was absolutely naked. And the question was, because she's walking down the street absolutely naked, does anyone have the right to touch her? The answer to that is no.
Yeah, well, let me put a first word in front of that. Hell no.
Right.
It don't matter because she's walking down the street naked. Now, that's crazy that she's walking down the street naked. But
that
still gives nobody the right to touch her.
It was a study. They wanted to see how that particular community, it was in a city area, how that community would behave, respond to it. People were laughing. Mm. I saw the video. People were laughing. You know.
And it's not funny. That's not funny. So we don't know what
other people were shocked, man. They were shocked. Other people were shocked, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's all kinds of things there. And with the child, for God's sake, you know, you're not supposed to let children run around. I would never let my kids run around with just a pair of underpants on, say, when they were
little. I never did that with mine. I never did that with mine either. I guess because of us being survivors of it, or you know, when we had our kids, we were, you know, it was different. We was overprotected. I know I didn't allow mine. I didn't allow my daughters. No way. No man.
No. Mm-mm. Okay, number 8. Okay. We never leave our child alone with adults. What? I think you do.
What?
Okay, people do. We never leave our child alone with adults. Okay, let's see what it says about that. I have to explain
Okay,
themselves.
So what's the difference? So guess what? Don't forget about the teenagers.
That's right.
Who are molesters.
That's right.
Pedophiles. Oh, yeah. Hear me, war. Hear me good. There are teenagers, kids, who molest and rape other kids.
That's right. Listen to me. Down in Avalon, New Jersey, they had this place that I happened to come across. And they had 13 to 15-year-olds and 17, up to 17 years old they had. Okay, boys and girls. Who had gone to the court system because they had raped a younger sibling or some kid down the block. And they'd done it quite a few times, okay? They had a pattern. They had a pattern, Michelle. So I
youngest
spoke to this lady.
The person that I met that was a freaking rapist, and I'm being real about it because that's exactly what he was, because that's exactly what he did. He was 7 years old. Not only did he rape his sister, he raped other girls in the freaking. He was the youngest person that they had me come in to talk to, locked up in juvenile for rape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That seems shocking, but it's not as shocking.
But it's not shocking to us, though.
No, it's not shocking to us.
It's not shocking to me, you, Carol, or people involved in NAFTA or our survivors. We're not shocked.
No, we're not
shocked. That's why we need to talk what we're talking and tell the truth and let people know, I don't have my kids around no adults unless I'm there. Baby, you need not to have your kids around other kids unless you're there.
That's right. I'm so glad you brought that up because, you know, oftentimes the babysitters – and that's not included in that list that I read earlier. The babysitters can be abusive, of course, you know, to the children that they're watching. And they'll say things like they're not going to believe you. Or if you tell them, I'm going to do something really bad to your cat or to your dog or whatever.
There are babysitters that have abused and raped and molested children.
Of course. And,
so,
and people
so
don't
there are
think about
that.
That
trust the babysitter, but they, I protect my kid. But you got a babysitter watching your kids, you got to be careful with babysitters too. They're no different than anybody else.
They know that they're different by the time they're 13. Okay.
There you go.
And this is what this, I got some information from her and then she hung up on me.
Wow.
Anyway, I'll share it with you. I'll share it with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Now, these kids, like I said, they had patterns, right? They were known to be doing this to other children. So there's a pattern there.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that they were different, and they didn't want their peers to know. So they would go out on dates. They would go to dances at school. You know, they'd go to the movies, whatever. I'm just saying, okay? They'd hang out. They'd
mm-hmm.
hang out and all this other stuff and be with their peers to appear normal. But when they were babysitting or even in their own home, okay,
wow.
They had the hots for someone,
wow.
okay? They wanted to go and rape someone, okay? Okay. So,
yeah.
And they know at the age of 13 that they're different. So many of them would act normal for years. They wouldn't do anything. And then, boing,
yeah.
it comes out because, you see, that's the way they're wired. That's the way they are. That's their makeup, okay? That's the way they are. That's their fabric because they're pedophiles.
Exactly.
But,
exactly.
Yep.
Good, Carol. Go ahead.
Yeah, and they know that by the time they're 13 years old. The lady
right.
told me 15, but we had someone on the show not too long ago that said 13. So she and I were speaking back and forth. So, okay, so that was one. That's number 8, where we never leave our child alone with adults. Well, we got into the teenage part, but with the adults, again, the red flags are there if you know what they are, and I want to go over them because
you know
I know them so well. Okay, if you're having a barbecue, say, and some new guy moves into the neighborhood, by the way, it can be a lady. It doesn't have to be a guy. Always keep this in mind. The stats are higher that it's males, but it can be females.
Pervert.
Oh, yeah.
They got women pedophiles. Come on now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Now, they think to themselves, oh, you know what, let's have John come over. You know, he's new to the neighborhood, he has a nice car, he has a nice house, he seems like a nice guy, he walks his dog, he cleans up after his dog, whatever. I don't care what they say about him, all right, all these things. So they invite him to the barbecue, and he's mingling with the adults. But the kids are all out in the field. Say there's a field close by, maybe right next to adjoining property there, two plots. That's me, two lots. Plots, well, I got my
mm-hmm.
head. Two lots. And so anyway, he goes to play ball with them. Maybe they're playing football. And it's okay to do this if you become involved with kids in that sense, like for 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever. But if that same guy is staying around your kids too long, more so than the adults, that's a red flag.
Of course.
Okay. Because he's supposed to be over by the adults, okay? And then
mm-hmm.
number 2, maybe he'll say, you know, he's friendly with the family, and they say, oh, wasn't that nice of John? He was really, because they don't know any better. Wasn't that nice of John? He was playing with the kids. He was there for 20, 25 minutes, whatever. He's already got scoped out, you know, which kid he's really interested in. He knows, all right? And maybe he'll go to that parent of that kid and say, listen, you work hard. I'll babysit for you some night. Go get some pizza. Both of you go out. Go to the, I keep saying the movies, whatever. Just go out and have some your time, and I'll watch your kid. Isn't that guy wonderful? My
wow.
God. Okay.
Mm.
The
yeah.
kid goes over his house, and maybe nothing happens that time. Maybe they're watching TV, maybe they're doing video games, or whatever. Everything's fine. But the third time.
Atmosphere, that's what we call grooming. Come on now. It might not happen at that moment.
That's
what we call
right.
grooming.
That he's grooming the parents, and he's grooming the kid.
There you go. Grooming,
he's getting the kid
again,
to feel comfortable.
The parents
yep.
and the kids. Parents, didn't know this. Pedophiles are real good and smart.
Right,
they,
exactly.
Because you don't even realize you're being groomed. Why? Because they want your trust.
That's right. That's exactly right. So maybe by the fourth
yeah.
or fifth time, and maybe months have gone by, he's not going to do it every week.
Exactly.
Otherwise, that'll look weird, right? But
because they're patient. Pedophiles are patient. Oh,
oh
they're
yeah.
patient.
They have
because
so
my
much patience.
Let me interrupt
patience.
You real quick. My commander... In the
yep.
military, groom
yep.
me for a year. A year. When I went into the military.
Mm-hmm.
And he started at me at 17 while I was
mm-hmm.
in the military after a year. Mm-hmm. Hear me loud. Mm-hmm. Pedophiles, they're not in no rush, because what they love is to find parents that they can woo and
yep.
that they can make you trust them.
Right.
And if it takes a day or if it takes months or it takes a year, they're in. Because what their goal is to for you to trust them so they can have access to your kid.
That's exactly right, Michelle. And so often what he'll do is, you know, maybe he'll buy the kid a present, okay?
Yeah.
And the kid, don't take it home. I don't want you to take this home. Leave it here. This can be something you can, you know, play with when you come over here. This can be our secret. Don't tell your parents, man.
Say that again, Carol. When you come over, and what they want to do. I want to go over to Mr. So-and-so's house. Why? Because they got a big old gift that you don't
That's
know
right.
about at their house.
That's right.
Come on now.
That's
yes,
right.
Ma'am.
So, I mean, he's got all kinds of ways. Then he'll start maybe getting a little booze, right? Okay. Maybe he's going to have him for 4 or 5 hours. And, he, you know, he's going to have some booze. And, you know, don't tell him, though. Don't tell him. This is our secret. It's our secret.
And
you know, the kid feels.
Because he bought them a great big gift. He's been nice to them.
That's
nice.
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
That's
this is what they do. This is what they do, Michelle. And
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, it makes the kid feel grown up. Wow, he's letting me smoke. I can have a cigarette. I can have a glass of wine. I'll just use wine. Maybe a beer or whatever. And it makes the kid feel good. He's like a grown up, and this guy's treating him special and all this other stuff. And then whammo.
My parents don't let me do this. My parents don't let me do this. Oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
That's
cool. You bet. And so then all of a sudden, you know, maybe even some pornography comes out. Maybe he's got some, you know, some magazines around. He's going to start showing the kids some porno, okay? But don't tell your parents this is our secret. And then it gets to the point
go
where.
Go for that because they're curious about sex anyway. Because you're not teaching them about no sex. Oh, but
that's
Mr.
right.
So-and-so who bought me gifts. Who allows
That's
me to
right.
hear? Who allows me to smoke? Ooh, he's showing me some porn or something I've been curious about. Anyway.
This guy is cool, okay? He wants to hang out with him because he's cool, all right? And then all of a sudden, somewhere in there, he puts his hand around his shoulders. He'll start putting his hand on his knee, you know, all this other stuff. And before you know it, the kid is in trouble. Don't tell your parents.
Yes.
They're not going to believe you. I am the pillar of society of this neighborhood. I have a good job. I have a good car. I have this. I have that. And they'll just think you're lying. And if, anyway, I'll kill your dog if you tell.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
So that's what happens, parents.
Who
are listening
so
later on. That's what happens. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Okay, it may not this time, this stranger who turned out to be a family friend is a pedophile and he likes your kid and he or slash sex offender because usually once they're, you know, it's prepubescent with the pedophiles. So that's usually around 12, say, no later than that, maybe 13 if the kid's a little underage or whatever, slow in developing. But the point is that's your pedophile. That's how he or she operates. That's it. That's what happens. Yeah. So think about
it. That's very good. Yeah.
It's very, very sad. It's very sad. I think I have a couple more left here. Hold on a second. Yeah, I do. I have two more left.
Okay.
I don't know what time it is. My clock is wrong over here. Okay.
It
says
time. It's 9:13. It's 9:13.
Okay.
Good.
We'll go through this.
Yeah.
That's
yes,
all right.
Ma'am.
We had a damn good show. Yes, we did. And we're
it's
teaching
okay.
people.
It's okay.
Okay.
It's important.
Yes, it is. It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Okay. Okay, so number 9.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to put thoughts in your head. I don't want to put thoughts in your kid's head. Oh, really? It says, actually, there is no data to indicate that a child who has been taught about child sexual abuse prevention is more likely to fabricate that they have been sexually abused. According to Victor Veith, that's his name, director of the National Child Protection Training Center at Winona State University, children do lie, but seldom about being abused. Do you know what the stats are on that, Michelle? They are so tiny. So often,
so
they say,
little.
Oh, they're
little
so little. Kids don't lie about stuff like that. No, they don't lie about that. No. No, they don't.
Ma'am.
Yes.
That's
it says right. All human beings can and do a lie, but it's hard for kids to lie about sex. They can't lie about something they have no knowledge of, you know, if they're young enough,
but
especially.
Let me add to that. Here's the
go ahead.
Watch this. When your child is giving details of something that nobody should know but an adult, that's a flag.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to your child when they give such details of sexual activities.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. Especially
that's
if
right.
you as a parent ain't took your time to teach them about sex, but you as an adult know all about sex, and your child is coming and giving you descriptions of sex. Come on now. That ain't made up.
That's not made up.
That's a flag. Come on now.
That's right.
Go
and
ahead,
that's
Carol.
Exactly right. That's exactly right, Michelle. And it says here,
mm-hmm.
and children don't learn about oral sex on Sesame Street.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
I mean it.
And that's exactly right.
Yes,
that's right. Okay, now we're down to number 10. It's
okay.
not going to happen to my child. It is not going to happen to my kid. Do you
wow.
know how many times I've heard that bullshit in plain English?
Wow.
Said to me, all right, it's not going to happen to my kid.
Awesome.
Well, it happens to kids
like
all over the place.
Said, just like my mother said, it ain't gonna it would never happen to her kid.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Don't believe
it's,
that.
It's crazy.
To your child.
That's right.
And if you're one of those parents who believe in, well, my child is too young, so I don't want to teach them all them things. I protect my child from the dark. So, you know, guess what? Your child is ready and is going to be looked at as someone that a pedophile can groom. You are a target.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And you know what? Shame on them, and I feel sorry for those kids. And this is the last one.
Yeah.
And then I want to speak a little bit about community. And we only have a few minutes left. It's not going to happen to my child. Actually, as the statistics reveal, child sexual abuse is so pervasive that it could happen to any child, anywhere, anytime. This reason is the catch-all. Educated, loving parents have actually said this to me. It's not going to happen to my child. If one were to ask any parent whose child has been sexually abused, if they thought their child would ever be sexually abused, I can guarantee each one of them would say no. No one wants to believe that this could happen to their child. We need to stop denying that it could happen and recognize that there are ways to prevent it, and that means education, from happening. Many of the decisions to talk to your child about sexual abuse prevention, it could be the greatest gift you ever gave them. And that's the end of
Amen.
That.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Yes. And then that's what I talk about when I go out. That's one of the ones I talk about.
Go ahead. Say more.
Okay. Well, that one's over. What I want to speak just a little bit about here is community.
Sure.
Okay. We don't have community matters on our show anymore, and I thought the community matters actually was something that we needed. We need community matters. And I'll tell you why. It says community, involvement, activity for all. Why is it important? We as a society, now that's overall, that's big, that's huge, that's immense. But as a community, we can keep our eyes and our ears open. We can watch, we can listen, we can see. We've already, Michelle and I have already told you the red flags on this show, okay, or what to look for. You can go to our website, that's www.nasca.org, okay, and you can find the red flags. You can find that. The resources go under there. I believe it's under there. We have red blocks, and they all have wonderful things written there that you can learn from. If we, in the communities that we live in, we keep our eyes open. If a child looks like they're beaten, for God's sake, call 911. Or if you don't want to call 911 because you're afraid of revenge, okay, you call the 1-800-4-A-CHILD number. 1-800-4-A-CHILD. That's nationwide, and they will contact the proper people, and you don't even have to give your name, okay? We should all be mandated reporters. If you see a child who is dressing funny or walking funny, maybe they've been beaten and they're trying to hide bruising, okay?
Yeah.
So their parents put on clothes so that people can't see those bruises. Or maybe they've been sexually abused and they're having just trouble walking, okay? I mean, there's all kinds of reasons.
Like if you see a kid in your neighborhood that looks sad, every time you see that kid, he looks sad all the time. We might have his head down. Oh, he might be around other kids and he's off to himself. That's a flag.
That's a flag. So we've given you a lot of things to work with on this show, okay, tonight. I hope you are listening. I know we're we're having all kinds of problems in our world right now. I think we should all come together and say our prayers and work together as a people. And remember, one thing that Bill does say that I do agree with is our children are our future.
Yes, they are.
That's very, very true. They are our future. If we don't prepare them for the future, then we're going to have a lot more children that are all screwed up, and the cycles are going to continue, whether it be through physical abuse, mental abuse because they're emotionally abused because they're being screamed at and beaten too much, sexually abused or neglected. It's all just going to continue. It's going to continue. So we as a people have to come together. And we have to, you know, concentrate on our children so that they do a better job than what we have done, okay?
Absolutely.
A better job. And they have a brighter future. Yes.
Amen.
So tell me what time it is, because I think it's time for
it's
the show to end.
So let me say something real quick.
Yes,
it's 9:21.
Please do.
I want to say to anyone who's listening, just know that NASCA, us as a whole, as a group, we are survivors. We are here for other survivors or other victims. Just know that you're not alone. And if you need someone to talk to, go on the website. There's a list of names, with emails, with phone numbers. And for me, and I can also say this for Sister Carol, if you need someone to talk to, please, Carol Divine or Michelle Bless, you can look us up. Well, actually, all of us, but I'm just specifically saying, because I work with Carol, we talk all the time, and I know that you can always call either one of us 24 hours a day.
That's right.
That I do know. We're here. You're not alone. And we won't question you. We won't judge you. Even if you don't, if you want to call someone to just call us to just be, and when I say us, I'm talking about all of us. If you just want us to be a listening ear. I have received so many calls, and the calls have not stopped, where I have talked with people, and they just wanted me, they would say, Miss Michelle, will you just listen to me? And I would say, sure. And I would sit for hours and just listen. They just want somebody to talk to. We are here for you. Do not hesitate. And also, I'm going to give two scriptures that I always give, that the Lord always tells me to give, which is Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 14, and Psalms 91. Those are comfort scriptures. You know, read it for the next 30 days or the next 60 days. Just read it. And just know that God loves you, even if you don't even believe in God, and it's okay that you don't or you do. He believes in you.
That's right.
He believes in you.
Amen to that.
And that's what I wanted to say, Sister Carol. Go ahead, Carol. We got 9:23. We got 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just. I want to say to Joe, is there anyone on the line holding? Because if so, this would be a great time right now because we only got 7 minutes. We can give them a minute or two to talk. If not, Carol, go back and talk.
No panel members. Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, good. That's fine.
That's okay. That's all right because look what we're.
I'm keeping the time. It's 6 minutes, Carol.
Yep. You know, let me say something. We are living in a terrible world right now, okay? A lot of things are happening. Yes, they are. We've got the coronavirus that's held us in the house for a long time. And we have other things going on out there that should never, never had happened. No, no, no. And I'm not going to go into details, but I'm going to say this. It's got to stop. It's all bullshit. It's got to stop. It's got to stop.
Yes,
okay?
Ma'am.
And we have to be a much more loving people, okay? We have to take care of each other. We have to be more concerned. If we would be more caring people, we do have groups out there. We do have the guardian angels, and they're always looking to help people. And they work with kids. Yes, they do. And if there are kids that are stuck in the house, you know, if they're doing their job, and I know the Eastern angels are doing their job, a lot of times they become friends with these kids, and there's someone that you can go to. And then you have other groups out there. You have Crime Watch in some areas or Neighborhood Watch. And Neighborhood Watch, I suggest that you get even more involved, you know, with watching the neighborhoods, because our neighborhoods are going down. They're just simply going down. And we can't handle that. You know, we can't handle that. And it doesn't even matter what state it is, whether it's New Jersey, whether it's New York, which I'm more familiar with, or whether it's out west even. And certainly out in California, there's areas all over our country that are hurting right now, and people have to come together. They have to learn to accept each other, and the bad people have to, toxic people have to go. We'll just leave it at that. And the good people have to stay, and we have to work together as one to make our nation to make our nation strong again.
Yeah. Amen.
Because it was strong, and then all this other stuff happened. And we can be strong again, absolutely. But a lot of it has to come from love, okay? Love.
Yeah.
Not hate.
Yeah.
Not hate. Love, okay? That's what I have to say for tonight. You know, Michelle, I'm so thankful you came on the show tonight. And
it's been a great show.
It was a very good show, absolutely. And I wish we had more shows like this, because people do need direction. And also, too, they have to know that they have people, like you said, about the contact list, who are willing to listen to them. And you and I, we're the night owls. I don't know. I don't know if there's any other night owls. But sometimes we're the day owls, too. I just got off the phone.
I'm 24 hours. Hour.
Yeah, I know. I just got off the phone and I had to call. Yep, that's the way it is. And if I should happen not to be home when I get my computer back, and I'm hoping that it's tomorrow, you know, you can always leave me emails, or you can call my phone and leave a message, whatever. And I certainly will get back to you. I absolutely do. And
absolutely.
A lot of times I'm hoarse, and so is Michelle, because we talk so much. And
that's
there's
all right.
A reason for that.
I know for sure that they can reach. I know for sure, and I can't iterate and express this. I'm, you know, for me and Carol, we are 24 hours, and I don't want people to think, well, it's so late. I don't want to wake nobody up. I don't care what time it be. If you wake up and if you're up and you need someone to talk to, call our phone. And let me say this. Sometimes, you know, I do be asleep when someone calls and I miss a call. But the first thing I do when I wake up is check my phone. And if I see a text message or a missed call from someone, I'm gonna answer. I'm gonna call the missed call, or I'm gonna answer the text. So it's never time. It's whenever I'm available. 24 hours.
The other day, I got up at 4:30 a.m. I admit I was still up. I'm a night owl. You know, that's why I'm there. Mm-hmm. Night owl. And
yes.
But a few days before that, it was 6:30 in the morning. I took my shower. So you know. You know, and then I sleep in the day. You have to sleep sometime, Michelle, you know. So, you know, but we're here.
And I end up falling asleep, you know. But like I said, I wake up, and if I see a text or a missed call, I will respond. You know, especially to voicemails. I always check my answering service, and I do get calls where someone had called, and
that's
I immediately call them. So
that's
what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for. That's what we're here for.
You bet.
All of us.
You bet.
Understand. That's what we're here for, to be there for one another. We are a family. We love one another, and we love the people who come on the show, who listens, who call in, who's in the chat room. That's what we're here for. Go ahead, Carol. We got 1 minute. It's 9:29.
Yes, it is. Everyone, I hope you enjoyed this show. From time to time, we're going to be doing shows like this to send out the red flags so that people can be, so children can be safer, okay? And this is very, very important. I want to thank those who are going to be listening later, and God bless everyone. And I say my prayers every night, and I think we should all start saying prayers. I really do. I say it to God, because our country, we can come together as one again. Yes, we can, and we can be better this time. Yes. Okay?
Yes. And
remember,
don't forget
God
Jeremiah
doesn't
29,
like COVID.
Verse 11 through 14, Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 14, and Psalms 91. And just know that you are loved. You are loved by us at NASCA, and you are loved by God.
That's right. Amen. And we have ended the show. So, Joe, you can play the music.
Love you, girl.
Love you, too. Talk to you soon.
Cause that dawn was cool. You are forgotten after all that you've done.
Blog Talk Radio.